right, we are plugged in and ready to rumble. You're listening to the Crez Files podcast with Adam and Jim West, plugging in with me tonight from New York City. Welcome, members. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, thanks a lot, Adam. I'm happy to be here.
Very nice. Always good to have you, Jim West, plugging in. Always lots to go through, isn't there? So many little details to cover.
Looking forward.
I know. It's a crazy zoo out there. So we work in our own way to try and break it all down, I guess. Work out what the hell's going on. Where the hell we are. Where we are living.
Yeah. It's a complicated deal.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to go over a few things tonight, Jim. Probably keep it pretty tight, but we'll talk about Dr. Andrew Wakefield, because you've mentioned a couple of times, but I wanted to get your take on this. We'll talk about him and his theories with the MMR and the measles and all the virus stuff and all of that, because it's interesting. And then there was the chiropractor, and we also got a little bit of information on the ultrasound to do with dentists, so we'll go about that, hey? You there, Jim?
You want me to hit Wakefield first, or what?
Oh, we might mention the lady. What do you reckon? Because we won't go too much on it, but we'll talk about this former chiropractor ordered to pay $100,000 relating to her anti-vaccination posts. You read this. What's your take on this? She's a former Halifax-based chiropractor. This is in your part of the world, I'm assuming. Has been ordered to pay the regulator $100,000 as part of a settlement agreement on charges of professional misconduct relating to her sharing anti-vaccination views online. We get that in Australia. I was just telling you before we started recording that, you know, midwives, nurses, they're starting to go there now with chiropractors. As you said, they tend to talk about vaccination material to their patients. Patients might go and see them with their kids to get work done with a chiropractor, and they'll have a little discussion about it, but they're cracking down on that here as well, threatening that they'll lose their license and probably end up in jail. Did you look at this case?
Well, I read it a few times. It's sort of complicated. It looks like the College of Chiropractic invoked some chiropractic law and had a hearing. I guess this College of Chiropractic is the basis for her license. If she wants to have a license to practice chiropractic, so they... they fined her $100,000 for saying that vaccines are bad, and she eventually caved in and admitted that it was due to her mental incompetence, and she agreed to pay this money. You know, so it's a disaster.
Apparently, she didn't have money either. So she's going to have to pay it back over 10 years. And it's an interesting one, because she's obviously, she was on social media or somewhere talking about this. It wasn't to an actual patient, was it?
Right. They were complaining about the social media. They said if she'd have just taken those social media statements down, the problem would not have occurred. But she was... she was remiss, and she would not change her opinion, and so they moved forward and prosecuted her and made her pay all the fees for their having to hire lawyers and all that.
God, what a waste of money.
Yeah. But you know, what's weird is she's a chiropractor. In the United States, you're always hearing chiropractors saying vaccines are bad, whatever. I never would have thought that somebody could be attacked if they were a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. But apparently in Halifax, they passed a law putting the pressure and the thumb on the chiropractic.
They are, yeah. That's under big attack in Australia as well. It's not so much just, you know, it's the whole vaccine thing. So you've got this army of trolls and bootlickers and scumbags and scam artists and politicians who are the same. You know, media news attached to Rupert Murdoch. It never ends. Every time you turn on the TV, they're pushing this whole thing. But these skeptic science groups, like one is the Friends of in Science and Medicine, and there's a whole bunch of them. They're all like these skeptic people. They're really they're really going after any form of natural medicine whatsoever. I mean, they'll even go after yoga. They're going after everything. Herbs and supplement industry, you know, all this stuff. They're going after chiropractors, midwives. They basically want anything that isn't big pharma drugs, you know, and vaccines, which are drugs, that kind of thing, wiped off the table if it isn't what they say. So there's a big attack in Australia, because I think, you know, you would probably say, from what I looked at, there'd definitely be about half the Australian population use supplements. You know, things like glucosamine and fish oils and vitamin C or whatever the hell it is. They go and they buy these things, so it is a big industry. But there's definitely an attack on people's ability and rights to seek out these alternative practitioners, maybe naturopaths or homeopathy, things like that. A big attack, and it's all these science skeptics people. So it's all run through the government and media and the newspapers everywhere you look. They just want to kind of swipe it off the table. But with this, again, with a chiropractor, that's going to spook the hell out of the industry. We've had doctors come out here and say they believe in informed consent for their patients, and they've been taken through the wood chipper and even had their offices raided and confidential patient records taken by these spooks and all of this. So that's send a chill through that industry as well, because there apparently are a lot of doctors who believe in parents having the right to choose when it comes to vaccinating their kids, for example. So that spooked them, and now this is going to spook the industry for the chiropractors. You know, and it's a hard position for them to be in if they're in their offices in the day and parents are in there asking them about the vaccination issue, where they have to tread carefully now, right? Because that's a serious case, man, that they can do that to someone.
Well, it's amazing that they can trample on just basically people's free speech. You know, that's what really bothers me, is people are not allowed to say what they think. If you say something like conservative, you can be beat up, and there's nobody to protect you. And if you say I'm anti-vax, you know, it's not so bad here for a layman, but if you're a professional, you can't say it in the United States, you know. So, but it really, the screw is turning, so it's getting worse and worse, you know.
Yeah, it says she's deleted those posts, offending posts from her social media account. So you're being watched on social media. I've actually moved over, Jim, to Gab and MeWe as well. So I've stripped my Facebook account there. I'm just tired of it. It's just weird and creepy, you know. They're watching everything, and I think for people like this, who are someone like this, who's a chiropractor, even saying anything on somewhere like Facebook or any of these outlets now, you're asking for trouble, because they're monitoring everything, watching everything, you know, over there. And it's happening here in Australia, believe me. These trolls are everywhere. They're in all these big groups and anti-vaccination groups, these trolls, gatekeepers. Don't know what they are, who, you know, it's a whole mix. And so they're in there, they're watching, they're dobbing in all the time. They're dobbing in midwives and nurses for saying anything about vaccines. And they, you know, doulas, all of this stuff, if they find out, they'll ring up and bust them, you know. Even if someone who owns a childcare center said something to one of the parents about vaccines, whatever it was, you know, they can ring up these government departments and dob them in. And so they're scouring Facebook for all these kinds of people and their comments and dobbing them in as well. It's like, you know, so, Yeah, you're just, it's getting to the point where you, yeah, you can't express yourself, your opinion. But that's over the top and brutal for a simple chiropractor to pay $100,000. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, terrible,
well,
man.
Yeah, it's like we're in the wrong business, you know. We're trying to be more and more truthful, and the system is becoming more and more untruthful and it's getting more and more repressive. So it is like Brave New World, 1984 and all that, you know, more than ever, you know.
Yeah.
At the same time, we have the internet, which is more and more freedom, but I guess this is the compensating repression.
It is. It is, yeah. So I don't have it in front of me. It was something I was reading the other day about social media and these government departments and people and Facebook and that cracking down now. They basically think that if you want internet freedom in any way, shape, or form, that makes you guilty, that you're guilty in some way of doing something wrong, and that you shouldn't have a problem with them coming in and looking at everything that you do and, shutting you down or intercepting and chopping up things that you're saying on there, redirecting things, making your life a living hell for posting on somewhere like Facebook. If you have a problem with that, well, then you're hiding something. So you're suspicious to them, you know. You need to just be open and spread eagle. let them put their boots on your head. Otherwise, you're suspicious. You're a terrorist, you know. So there's all these groups in social media and Facebook now, hidden groups, not hidden, but private locked groups who think that Facebook aren't able to get access to those groups when they read everything. They're on the messenger in there and all of that. They're reading absolutely everything you do in there. And so their idea is if you've got to create these groups and link up with people that that you connect with in these groups and get along with, and you're hiding something and you're guilty. So they're kind of creating this culture of spooked out people now, you know, that feel like they can't even have a conversation anymore. With these, as I said before, with these kind of doctors and practitioners, they might have a practice of some type, but they might be quite open-minded to the things we're saying now, and they just don't even want to say a thing, not even down the local watering hole. Someone could overhear and dob them in. So it's creating this kind of downward spiral of fear as well, and in the culture where no one wants to even talk anymore. And in theory, Jim, you should be able to go in, as you and I talk about, we should be able to go in and ask the dentist or the doctor's questions, have an open discussion about what's this and what's that, what's good, what's not. You can't. A lot of them now don't like being asked anything. You just go in there and take it and go, you know, and pay your bill.
Yeah, well, the last dentist I was at, or actually the one before, about a month ago, I went to a dentist, my regular dentist, and he got pissed off when I just asked him simple questions, and I resisted on the x-ray, and I resisted on the anesthesia. I didn't want either one, and he insisted on them, and it was like, no. That the only words out of his mouth were no. And here I am with a problem, and I got to have it dealt with. So I really couldn't. I had to go along with him. Otherwise, I have to go out and find another dentist, which is not easy because he's a pretty good dentist, you know. He doesn't use fluoride, you know. But they have a factory going there, and if one of the sheep says something, it interrupts the slaughter process, you know, or the money-making process, and it pisses them off, you know. So I found another dentist who's absolutely amazing. I mean, he gave me an interview. I did an interview consultation before I got any work done, and that interview went 2 hours long. We just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And I told him all about my ultrasound cleaning. I don't like ultrasound cleaning because I have I found a study on the in the NIH that says that ultrasound cleaning can cause thrombogenic hazards. They call it an ultrasonic scaler. Like if you're cleaning the sides of the tooth and you go below the gum, you can cause the tooth to die. It also said there's several studies, and they've used commercially available ultrasonic scalers, and they found that they found platelet emboli and thrombi, which is damage to the cells and the vessels and the capillaries. And it seemed that none of these dentists are aware of this, you know, which is kind of amazing, you know. But and then they have a new procedure called PIPS, which is the proton induced photoacoustic streaming process. This is a dental process in root canals. Are you aware of that, Adam?
A tiny bit, not much so.
Yeah, well, it's like ultrasound in a way. Mm. They put a tube into the tooth to clean it out, to clean out the nerve of the dying tooth before they do the, you know, this root canal thing. And it's very much like an ultrasound thing. It causes a lot of little bubbles and frothing, and they can wash out these teeth, you know, remove all the matter, the living matter, before they fill it with calcium hydroxide and stuff like that.
That pulp, so, nerve bed.
So it's the latest rage for removing pulp. I was talking to him. So I talked a total of about 4 hours with this guy, because I talked another 2 hours as he was working on me. He worked on one tooth, and eventually,
like a filling or something?
Well, he did an onlay. You know what an onlay is?
Mm.
An onlay is like an inlay. It's where they build. They find. Let's say you're missing part of your tooth on the top of the crown. Well, they'll take pictures of it, three-dimensional photos, and enter this into a computer.
Oh, digital. Where
they,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they hook it up to a 3D printer, and
That's
they
right.
print the missing part of your tooth. It calculates what your tooth would look like
mm-hmm.
when it was full, and it will print a porcelain version of the missing tooth. And then they push a button, and it cooks it. It bakes it for 15 minutes, so it's a hard piece of glass. And it fits perfectly into your tooth. And then they just glue it in. Rather than doing a filling, they're doing an onlay, because it lays on the tooth, you know.
Mm.
It's really amazing. Lots stronger than a filling. But it cost a fortune. And I didn't even know the price until I got out of the dentist. You know, I mean, I was shocked. And it was horrible. I'm embarrassed, you know. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So he set me up with a 2-hour consultation.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Bucks. Yeah. He got the hook out there, and I was all amazed, man. I never saw so much technology.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it recently, too. It's incredible.
Oh, you see your mouth, your x-rays, your three-dimensional jaw. You see all this all plastered on the walls all around you.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So you had that experience.
Yeah. Well, I got a titanium implant, so I went through the whole thing, yeah.
Wow.
All that?
That's,
yeah, 3D scanning, and they, like, all these, at least, like, thing that looked like a pen, and it was taking, like, hundreds of photos a second, and they built this whole floating image of my jaw and things on there. And then, yeah, he said that they have this 3D printout, that thing that goes in there. I don't know. They got all guided placement now. It was a perfect placement, though, and I haven't had any issues. It's in, but there's a couple more stages I have to go through. One tomorrow, and it's but yeah, I got that same thing where they have to keep opening up my gum, to go through these stages. So tomorrow I got to get more anesthetic. And the problem is when I got the implant done, anesthetic doesn't work too well on me. And when I got the implant done and drilled up into the bone, I think he had to he gave me about 5 injections.
Anesthesia. Wow.
I had the first 2, I had the numbing gel, and then I had 2, and I had another one. I think I had a couple more because it was I could feel it in there. He said, you're having a bit of a problem with the anesthetic, which I think I do. And that could be maybe because I'm so tense. I just don't like being in that sort of situation. I feel like I get really tense. And maybe does that stop the anesthetic from doing its job? I don't know. Just I'm one of those people it doesn't work very well with. So
yeah.
You know, if you do a root canal on me, I'll probably feel it.
Yeah. Well, I've had a wisdom tooth pulled with no anesthetic at all, and it really was no problem. I just committed to it. I said, this is it, it's gone, and I don't want an anesthetic. And they pulled that thing out, and they fished around in there for all the little bits and pieces and dug them out into my jaw, and I felt no pain because it was like stoicism, like ultimate stoicism, you know. And but I don't like it.
It's
you know, but I felt better, you know, because when it was over, I was happy, you know. And when I went to this other dentist who insisted I have an anesthesia when it was over, I was incredibly sad. I had this huge depression fall over me, and I started sort of shaking in the dental chair, like spazzing, you know. And they wouldn't admit what was going along. The assistant, the dentist left, and the assistant just said, "Oh, you're shaking," and I was like, "Yeah, no kidding," and because it was I had a reaction to the thing, you know, and I felt my whole mouth felt weak for a couple of weeks afterwards, you know. So I think I was right in rejecting the anesthesia, you know, and I think I have some more work coming up in the dental office, and I'm going to try to say no anesthesia. I'm going to try to convince them.
Do you have many fillings? Because that's a worry for me. I said that I need a filling, but it's not really a cavity. It's a little, maybe a little bit come off the tooth or a little hole there at the back. So it's only a tiny one. This dentist that I'm seeing, he uses a lot of magnification, so he does really good fillings. He uses the best material on the market. He doesn't cheap out, so it's I probably wouldn't have to worry again. I'm wondering the lifespan of these things, but my idea always was that you know, because you got your you got your tooth enamel, and then you got the dentine in there, which is the more spongy bone stuff, and you got the enamel, which is like the helmet of the tooth protecting it. And I think once the, you know, it's like the battery acid in your mouth, you know, when it depends on what you're eating and if you're cleaning properly. But you get the cavities, and they can travel through slowly, and they get into that soft bit in the middle, and I guess they can go down, and then you get the infections there, as you said, in the pulp, and you get those horrible root canals done. But my idea with just small fillings is you go in there and they tell you, oh, we just need to do this filling, and then they have to always clean that cavity out and make it bigger than it originally was and fill it. And then later, if that breaks up, you get, you know, air and stuff under there and bacteria, and then the cavity starts underneath, and they have to do it deeper, and it just seems like it's eventually going to lead to the end of the tooth. But maybe with the fillings now, they're better, and you don't need to worry again.
Well, hopefully. One of the things to avoid is time-release fluoride that's embedded in your filling. You know, you can insist that you not have any fluoride or PBA chemicals and all that in your fillings. You want non-toxic fillings, you know. And that's what I have with the dentist I'm going to. But it was not the case about 16 years ago, where a dentist put this time-release fluoride in all the rosin, and he painted my teeth with fluoride, and I ended up with periodontal problems, you know, which led to more dental problems, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's another one of these things where you have to always be on guard. And anytime you go to near any medical situation, you got to be on guard and you got to ask the questions. You can ask for the material safety data sheet for anything that the dentist is using. And I think they're not too shocked when you do that. I've heard that they will supply you with the MSDS for their filling material, you know.
How do they put the slow-release fluoride into your filling? I guess if you don't say anything, you wouldn't know they're doing it, right? What is it, like just a liquid form they put under the filling?
What's the question again?
You know, you talked about the slow-release fluoride they use with fillings.
If you didn't ask them, you wouldn't know
they were doing it.
It's fluoride is, they can paint the teeth before putting the filling in, and that causes the fibers of the tooth to stand up and bond with the filling. It's a technique. The only problem is it poisons your tooth, poisons your mouth, like forever. It slowly goes away over 10 years, 15 years, causing periodontal disease, according to some studies, many studies, in fact. But then another way they can get this fluoride into you is to just, the fluoride is a composite in the filling material, and it just slowly bleeds out of the filling, like forever, you know.
It's such a worry, Jim. I know. It's such a big thing. And I was looking at a YouTube video of some retired dentists, and this old guy was talking about bacteria on the teeth, you know, that's like acid. And he's saying brushing and washing out with that Listerine, you know, those mouthwashes that burn your tongue and burn your throat, and they've actually been associated with causing cancers in the mouth. He's saying it, he kind of likened it to, you know, fish in a pond and trying to get rid of the fish out of the pond by waving your hands through the water. You know, the fish are just swimming around your hands, and he's saying that these strong bacteria on your teeth are swimmers, so they swim around your gums, so you've got to use certain things to wash all that out all the time to keep your teeth clean. And I guess, a lot of people drinking, you know, Coca-Cola or fizzy drinks or eating certain foods or whatever it is and not brushing, and that probably leaving that on your teeth all the time, and then you get the cavities. I mean, that's what they tell you, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, and so they say brush your teeth, because it's going to get rid of all this stuff. It's hard to really say. I do the coconut pulling each morning or every couple of mornings, only just for 10 minutes, raw coconut oil, and also the Celtic sea salt washes, and also did what you were saying, like dissolve it fully and brush with that. It's a little bit abrasive. I find the sea salt works. Kind of changing, shifting the diet a little bit. I think I try to take like things like magnesium oil, really earthy sort of minerals, not synthetic kind of vitamins. Get those kind of good minerals and stuff into you any way you can. But watch your diet. I'm big on the phytic acid. I do think modern grains and stuff are causing the cavities as well. That's just my theory, but I'm trying my best just to keep it seems to be working, you know, and I guess if you can do that, then you don't want to be more damaged as you get older, you know, and keep going to the dentist, because it's a downward spiral and they just get you locked in. You just keep going and going and going for all these problems, you know. Even though they've got all this technology, as I said to you, they're not telling you how to really prevent cavities. Would that be in your book, How to Prevent Cavities, or you think you can't? You reckon with
cavities
on teeth?
Well, I think cavities are entirely the result of being poisoned. You know, it can be pollution or whatever, but mainly the pollution comes from the dentist himself. Like it starts off with mercury fillings, and then you go, oh, well, I'm going to get rid of my mercury fillings, and now I'm going to get these, the new, you know, rosin fillings, white rosin. And then it turns out that's embedded with fluoride, you know. So you go from the frying pan to the fire, which is my case. And now I've found dentists who are wise to that. And this last one told me that he really feels bad that he had poisoned so many patients, you know, with fluoride in the past. You know, he thought he was being a smart guy because it was advertised as a miracle in dentistry, you know, fluoride. And so he doesn't do that anymore. I think the cause of tooth decay is pollution, and because it weakens the teeth, and electrical radiation is one of those pollutions. And then I think that acids, according to this dentist named Judd, he says that acids like vinegar and lemon, that is the amount of, at that degree of acidity, you can damage your teeth. And when I look back on it, every time I had a tooth decay problem, it was always when I was like in love with lemonade or with lemon juice. False lemon. Well, the cookies are in the oven. I got to go get them. But so, so it was always lemon juice. But then there's this thing where last dentist, he's like you. He said that the gluten is very bad. But
The phytic acid in the grains.
Yeah. That's all based on these dog studies, which
anti-nutrients.
Yeah, but newer studies have shown that those dog studies didn't turn out to be valid. You know, which is, since I eat grain like every day in my smoothies, I have organic grain, and I believe the gluten problem is really the result of pre-harvest Roundup application to grain, rather than the grain itself. I'm not believing the gluten thing, you know, or the grain thing.
They're allergic to the Roundup pesticides.
It's really the Roundup and the grain, you know, because it's like the world's oldest food. You know, grain's been there forever. It's just grass, you know. But I did change my mouthwash. It was salt water, and now I've added a little sodium bicarbonate, which neutralizes acids. Right.
Okay, soda. Yep. Yeah.
Have you been doing that, like sodium bicarbonate, bicarbonate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I noticed an improvement in the some of my teeth are sort of bothering me, but the ones that I have to have some work done, and I'm just maintaining them with my energy, my dental energy, you know, and it seems like they've gotten a lot better when I put a little sodium
for sure
bicarbonate, you know.
Yeah, it's highly alkaline.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it zaps.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. You're right. I put that in as well. I try to get a quality one. I did read a lot of forums and stuff where people say they have worse dental problems when they continue eating the white flour. And I guess this could be something to do with the refined white flour nowadays more than what you're eating. But, you know, the Western A Price stuff and all that they were talking about, the whole grain stuff, the wholemeal flours and everything and breads and the whole grain stuff is worse. Because when they have the modern bread, they take all the goodness out of it, you know, the white bread. So they don't have those anti-nutrients or so much in them. So they're saying that basically families who eat white bread and white rice and stuff are going to have less tooth cavities than families who have brown bread and wholemeal rice and all of this. It's
because of the gluten.
No, because of the phytic acid. So people are saying when they've got dental problems or infections, they get worse when they have bread. And then when they cut the bread off, the infection, you know, their teeth seem to improve. And that's a lot of people saying that, you know. But, you know, it's not something I really need, grains. I kind of wormed off at it a little bit, kind of worming it out of my diet more. You know, so if I have some eggs in the morning, scrambled eggs or something, I might have some avocado or raw sauerkraut or something. Or I might make my own little bit of bread, just a little bit, sort of cut it way back, all those grains. Maybe it's just too many carbs and everybody just seems to eat bread nowadays for everything, all day, breakfast, all day through to dinner. They're having some kind of carbs and breads. Not enough fats and protein, you know, lots of good fats I think is good for your teeth as well.
My grain intake is unusual. I'm ingesting raw grain. I just throw it in a blender. I blend it with water.
Not sprouted?
Not sprouted. I don't have time to deal with sprouting. I'm a busy guy. Very important person. You know?
I think you got to sprout it.
I just throw it in the blender. I blend it with water, and then I just add fruit, yogurt, bananas, fruit, whatever, pineapple, and I'll throw a little mineral in there, like diatomaceous earth.
That's a good one too. That's the silica, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm doing, and so I haven't had a tooth problem in 5 years, and I've been doing this, you know, like every day, you know.
So you're fixing older dental problems, like I am, just stuff that happened in the past. You're still kind of dealing with, not so much new dental problems.
Right, it's a flare up which happened with you, happened with me, my brother, some friends I know, all at the same time, and I thought, what the heck? So I checked out solar flares, and I found that there was 2 weeks of solar flares ongoing during these tooth episodes, you know. And which makes sense, because solar flares are a form of EMF, and I've always thought that EMF, well, I know from intense experience that EMF is a affects cavities, you know, it creates cavities, it weakens the teeth, you know. So I think that there's a lot to a tooth. I mean, why would the tooth have 4,000 feet of dentin capillaries, you know, running through the tooth? Why would it have those there? You know, people think it's for chewing food. No, there's more to it, you know, like animals sense with their teeth, you know, like sharks can tell, or infrared, you know, it can sense the vibrations of another fish through its teeth, you know.
Well, so yeah, you got the nerves in the human teeth that seem to be attached to, you know, all the parts of the body and your organs and things like that. They're important, right. Yeah.
Well, why would it have those nerves there?
It's
crazy. Would it have 4,000 feet of dentin? You know, they're not telling us, or yeah, even seem to be interested in what profound function the teeth have. You know, and maybe that profound function is why they attack the teeth. You know, because the teeth are telling us that we're being poisoned by pollution. You know, and they don't want us interpreting it. Dental systems, you know.
That goes back to the slaves, doesn't it, Jim? Way back with the slaves, they'd always check their teeth to get a general look at how their health was.
Yeah, it's always been a good indicator of your health, and they don't want you. They want to control the interpretation of that indicator, you know. So. You know, when you think of people who are missing teeth, you automatically think of their environment. You think, wow, those people are, you know, crazy, or they're living in like a...
They're really poor.
Some kind of... Yeah. They live in a factory. They're poor people. You know, they must be drinking arsenic every day out of the water. Just instinctively, you think that, you know. So the system does a lot to try to prevent us from thinking that way, you know. But
yeah, it's so crazy with all this stuff around us and 5G and Wi-Fi and all this EMF. I think you just do the best you can and try to maybe up the nutrients in your diet, so your body's got the tools it needs to maybe try and maintain healthy bones and structure and teeth. So that there are things you can do. We're missing such crucial minerals too, earth minerals and stuff, with all the topsoils disappearing over the years, you know, stuff like selenium and magnesium and potassium and all these things, all these calcium, like pure calcium, you know, all of this stuff is missing in the modern diet. It's dead. It's dead diet. Our milk's dead. Our bread's dead. Everything we pretty much eat and buy from the supermarket, it's all dead. It's been killed. We're not getting that raw nutrition, you know, those enzymes and antioxidants and polyphenols and everything we need in the diet and the vitamins, all of that that helps us be healthy. We're missing it out, and then we're copping this huge blow of, as you say, EMF and all this frequencies and stuff, and then it's a crazy thing to stay to stay healthy, because in modern society, Jim, it's just too expensive to keep going to dentists. It's just getting too expensive. It's ridiculous. You've got to try and stay as healthy as you can. but the worry for me is that with all the new technology, because this new incredible technology, I can't sort of work out at the moment if it's a really good thing or if it's going to be, in the end, like ultrasound, a very detrimental bad thing, because the dental industry, the whole market and the offices everywhere, they're being bombarded with all this unbelievable new technology, 3D printing and new machines. And we talked last week about the 5G and everything like that, and how they're going into 5G and ultrasound technology to run these machines and test on us and use on us. Is this going to create another disaster, or is dental industry going to get cleaner and better? What they do to our mouths and our teeth, is there those practices going to last us longer and be less invasive? Time will tell.
Yeah, that's a great summation of the situation, an amazing summation. I have a great idea for a topic for our next week's conversation, which is Wakefield a phony? I suspect he is, I want to outline that.
Yes, I will be away next weekend, Jim, so we'll be back the weekend after. But I think that needs a whole podcast. A whole podcast on Wakefield, because I'm interested in this and I wanted your whole take on that. So we'll go into that. I know he's talking about the MMR vaccine and inflammation of the bowel and how that releasing toxins into the bloodstream is going into the brain and the inflammation. And we're talking about the virus and everything. And this whole autism epidemic. But the more I hear of him and I watch him and those who interview him and I look at this whole game, it seems like they're almost all on the same side in a strange way. So I kind of want to dig down and get to the what's really going on here and the big elephant in the room no one's talking about. But he's still causing controversy today, and I thought it would be interesting to cover and get your material on it. You've done a lot of work on that. We'll just spend a whole solid half an hour or so breaking all that down.
Sounds good. I met him 3 times when they had the premiere here. Actually, I met him 4 times because they did a second movie on him, and I met him then. Mm. So I'm ready.
That's and just before we go, Jim, I got a couple of those ones you were mentioning. That was quite unbelievable. Just going back to the ultrasonic descaler, that I got one up from PubMed, but I guess that's the similar study, and that one's saying 1988, so this is a long time, and they just got the quick abstract there about how this use of dental ultrasonic descaler may be associated with biological hazards to structures within the oral cavities. Thermal hazards may result from either frictional contact between the oscillating probe and tooth or from absorption of acoustic energy within the tooth. This is talking about thrombogenic damage to blood vessels and all of this, which you were mentioning as well. And they're even talking about here, the electromagnetic field produced by these devices may interfere with cardiac pacemakers and patients, as well. So they're talking about pretty hazardous here. This is ultrasonic descalers. And again, Jim, this is probably stuff that people go in every 5 to 6 months and they get a cleaning. They're using those descalers on their teeth to clean them all in between their teeth. It kind of hurts a little bit. And they don't know that what this technology is. Pretty unbelievable.
Yep. Well, I'm looking at a study that's 2013, fairly recent, So it's still a current, fairly current. Well, actually, 2013 is not that recent, but...
It is 2013, or July, August 2013. Yeah, that was a bigger one as well. But very interesting anyway, this ultrasound little devices they're using in the dental industry now. I'd probably skip those cleanings. I've heard just some people on social media saying after those cleanings they've had problems with their teeth.
All right.
And even teeth getting loose and stuff.
Yeah, well... If it seems that ultrasound creates permanent damage.
This is permanent. It's capable of,
it's capable of causing permanent damage in the cell structure and in the capillaries. So it could be adding to the toxic load that is already in your periodontal system there, and you may pay the price down the road. You know, I'm not an expert, but these studies seem to be implying, you know. So something to think about.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to trashing Andrew Wakefield, the holy saint Andrew Wakefield, in our next get together.
I'm going to unleash you, Jim West, and let you go through a little bit more all of this theory, his paper, what he said, what they're saying, and also obviously we're going to heavily bring ultrasound into this, the elephant in the room. you will be unleashed for that. I know this is your meat and potatoes, isn't it? Your bread and butter. So you've been wanting to do this for a while, which I don't think we've actually talked about this case, but it's a big case. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we've touched upon it, but it's getting more. It's getting riper and riper, and you know it's ready.
Let's dig it all to pieces.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Great to speak with you, Jim West. Take care over in New York City, and we'll speak again soon. Thanks for our listeners there for your support, and I'll post this soon, Jim.
Thank you, Adam.
Yes.